Okay, over here in Joshua chapter 1, it's where Joshua is taken over from the ministry of Moses. And as we know, that's a pretty tall order here because Moses led him out of that Egypt, appeared before Pharaoh and got water out of a rock and got manna for him for 40 years and so forth. But now God is saying something. He said that Moses, my servant, is dead, verse 2. And I want you to rise and go with and all this people into the land which I do give them, even the children of Israel. Every place the sole of their foot, your foot shall tread upon, that have I underlined given, not sold, not rented, given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness of Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. So he's giving them nations. Verse 5, and there shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with thee. I will not fail thee or forsake thee, so be strong and of good what? Courage. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate thy word how long? Day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now, this meditation is where we are, talking about meditation, and subtitling this, As a Man Thinketh. As a man thinketh. So now we're talking about meditation. Basically, we're talking about a systematic way that God has given us to renew our minds. As a matter of fact, the foundational scripture that we did read before is be not conformed. Romans chapter 12, we've been reading it all the time. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by what? The renewing of thy mind, so you can prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So there's a renewing of your mind, of the mind, that's got to take place. And the renewing of that mind that's got to take place, he is saying here, or one of the ways that you renew the mind is through meditation. Now, meditation is a God-given method by which we can take the truth of God's word and envision it having to come to pass in our life. Take the truth of God's word and actually destroy an old self-image or something, how we saw ourselves or our circumstances or our condition in the past, and build a new one. Build a new way of thinking. Build new thought patterns in our lives. So meditation is that, we call it spiritual experience. Now, we're going to talk about that a little bit more because meditation also produces a programming change in the subconscious and the conscience, C-O-N-S-C-I-E-N-C-E. So it builds and rebuilds that in there. When the Bible in Ephesians says, pull off the old man and put on the new man. In other words, don't put the new man on the old man. Who was that? I think Dr. Creflo Dollar talked about it'd be like having a baby and the baby having wet and messed up the diaper, and instead of you taking the old diaper off, just put a new diaper on there. Pretty soon, the old is going to seep through to the new, you know. So the idea about it is pull off the old man. So God wants a total renovation. He wants you to loose that old thinking. He wants all that out. He doesn't want part of it out. He wants it all cleaned out. And so he can put this new thinking in there and the new things of God so that we'll be able to fulfill God's plan fully for our lives. So now we're saying meditation. So what we said, and I will just start here, is that one of the things we have to get in our minds is that God was telling Joshua, verse 2, to arise and go over this Jordan. So one teaching we have to correct is that many Christians have been passively sitting by trying to wait on God to do something. And God really wants Christians more in an offensive posture. When I say that, I mean on the offense. And to have us moving forward and having action to what we believe. And so when he says this here, he says, arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people into the land that I'm going to give you. Now, you know yourself that that land, according to Numbers chapter 13, there were giants in that land. But God is saying, I've given you this land. So you got the land, but the land is occupied. But God is going to show them how to evict the enemy and take possession of the land. Now, what they're going to have to do is realize that they're going to have to come out of the old way of thinking, the old way of seeing ourselves, and move into a new way of seeing ourselves so that God can move through us into that situation and give us victory. Say amen to that. So over in Thessalonians, as a matter of fact, I think it's 1 Thessalonians. And in 1 Thessalonians, he talks about that we are to be sanctified holy, chapter 5, in spirit, soul, and body. So God sanctified means set apart and means separated from, set apart to God for his will, his purpose in our lives. And let us be set apart in every area. He not only wants to be set apart in our spirit, but set apart in our mind. He wants complete change in our thinking, complete change in the way we're operating and the way we're acting. So we said that that change was also spelled out in Romans chapter 12, where he said in verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we said that that transform have to do with a complete change in your life. Now, so that there should be an offensive action, that we should be on the offense. Matter of fact, I think he said in Luke chapter 19, he told his disciples to occupy till I come. Over in Mark chapter 16, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, these weren't suggestions. These are something that God had mandated for us to do. Turn over with me to Joshua chapter 18, please. Joshua chapter 18, and this is something that helps to back up what I am saying in terms of what God wants to happen in our life. Look at Joshua chapter 18, and as he said here in Joshua chapter 18, and look at verse 2, he says this, and there remained among the children of Israel 7 tribes which had not yet received their inheritance. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, how long are you what? Slack. How long are you slack to do what? To go in to possess this land. Now, when he uses the word slack, I looked that word up, slack, and it means slow to move or sluggish. It means idle. It means inactive or neglectful. It also means easily changed or easily influenced. How long are you slack? So Pastor Winston will preach something on Sunday morning, and then you go back and ask some relative who doesn't know anything about this, about that, and all of a sudden they'll start convincing you that maybe you should move out on this, maybe you shouldn't be a doer of this, and so forth. And that is part of that slack. In other words, being easily persuaded away from what God has called us to do. Let people go home and get distracted and get all busy and tied up with this and tied up with that. But God has called us to do some things here. So we're going to have to set some priorities. But what I'm trying to show you is there is an offensive action with God. God does not want us to hang back. He does not want that harvest to sit out there any longer. You are not waiting on God. God is waiting on you. Say amen to that. He is waiting on you. So God is ready to move in this hour, and he's ready to do some things that are very, very powerful. So when we talk about meditation, we're talking about meditation is a way that every impossible situation in your life can be solved. Meditation is a way for every need in your life to be met. Meditation is a way for every promise that God has made to become a reality in your life. Let's go over to Mark's gospel in Mark chapter 9, please. Mark chapter 9 in the New Testament. By the way, I meant to ask if anybody needed a Bible. If you need a Bible and need to follow along with us, I forgot to do that. So I don't know if you do, just raise your hand and one of the ushers. Okay, we're okay. All right, maybe we did it. Okay? All right. Now, let's keep going here and see what, in fact, is happening. Glory to God. Here in Mark chapter 9, this is where Jesus was approached by this man, this individual who brought his son for Jesus to cast
a spirit out of him. And in this case, the disciples had tried, but they couldn't do it. And Jesus said in verse 9, O faithless generation. We talk about this generation that didn't go into the promised land. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me. So he brought him to him. Jesus asked the man some questions. The man answered those questions. And verse 23. And Jesus said unto him, if thou can believe, all things are possible to him that what? Believes. Now notice what he said. If thou can believe, all things are possible to him that believe. Now in this case, this demon needed to be cast out of this boy. Okay? And he said, if thou canst mean can, believe, all things are possible to him that believes. How many of you know all things are possible with God? Amen. And if God was just God by himself, there's nothing too hard or impossible with God. Am I right about it? Yes. He said here, if thou can believe, all things are possible to him that believe. I'll keep reading. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my what? Unbelief. Now we know, according to Hebrews chapter 4, the reason why the children of Israel, who came up out of Egypt, led by Moses, wandered in the wilderness for 40 years and did not go into Canaan, is because of their unbelief. Now, unbelief is not non-belief. Non-belief is believing nothing. Unbelief is believing something. But it's believing something God didn't say. That's unbelief. Now, that's what the enemy worked to program us with in the earth. He surrounded our environments with it. Surrounded us with it. Our environments, we're busy turning on TV and get this kind of medication, and hay fever's coming, so you better get prepared for it and take this and so forth and so on, or whatever it is. The exposures. We said who we've been exposed to. Well, you can't get that job because they're not letting your kind of people have that kind of job up there. See, these are people now. These are people that have been speaking into our lives. All that has programmed us. Then we go to experiences. What kind of experiences did you have? The internet people now, they're saying, when I was a child, I got disabused and so forth. So these experiences that they have. Now understand, they have left that land of bondage. And they're no longer in that land. They are now legally free. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now the devil is trying to make them think the same way they used to think before they got free. Got it? So he's busy trying to reinforce what he put in the first time. Now, Bill Winston is busy trying to teach you who the Bible says you really are. What the Bible says you can do, and what the Bible says you really have. But some of them go back home to the relatives. Now turn on over to Proverbs chapter 23, please. Proverbs chapter 23. I'm coming back there. I said I'm coming back there. Proverbs chapter 23. Let me know when you get there. Proverbs chapter 23. Praise God in heaven. Have you got it? Amen. Look what it says in verse 7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Stop right there. Okay? Now, so what am I saying? I'm saying it's according to your thought life. It's according to your thought life. Now let me give you what happened here.
This man went to an evangelism tent crusade, and he was crippled and got healed. Heard the word, power of the word came, man of God laid hands on him, pow, got healed. Went back home. Second day, third day, his knock at the door. He answered the door. It was his old pastor. He said, hey, how you doing, pastor? So-and-so, come on in. Man sat down with the pastor. They sat down there and talked for a while. Talk about old times. Pretty soon the pastor began to tell him, you know, God doesn't heal everybody. They drifted into unbelief. Now the pastor said, well, I guess I'll be going, and got up. And the man tried to get up, and he couldn't. His disorder, his malady, his situation came back down on him. Because as a man thinketh, so is it. Came back on. See? Now your thoughts are very important. Don't minimize your thoughts. I used to say this before we even got into this study. You will always move in the direction of your most dominant thoughts. Thoughts are things. What you have in your mind controls your body. Now you know that to be true, because all you need to do is have a nightmare. Am I right about it? And you wake up, and the first thing you say is, thank God that was a dream. Now not only that, your body is sweating. Your heart is beating fast, and you never left the bed. Your body doesn't know the difference from a real experience and one that has been just placed in your mind. Doesn't know the difference. The mind is very powerful. As a man thinketh, that's a law. So now I'm just saying people will try to kind of pull you back into that. I told them this morning I had a relative and riding a relative around, and next thing that happened, you know, the relative just come out of the hospital and got some things done, and they had a disorder in their body, and they said, hey, you know, you're going to have this. Now, I understand I got saved, got the word of God, know what God will and won't do, you know what I mean, things like that, because I learned the scriptures. And I said, no, I won't have that. Now, wait a minute, I'm not done. Amen. They said, no, you never know what you may have. See, no control. No control. You never know. I said, well, I know. Amen. I'm redeemed from the curse.
Amen. Amen.
I understand. You're giving people this, then they go back to the old company. And you cannot accept that. You can respect them. But when the enemy tries to give you that box of black snakes, you just turn it down.
That's right.
Say, no, that won't happen to me.
Amen.
And I mean, say it out loud.
That's right.
Say, no, it won't happen to me. Won't come nigh me. Are you following what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now go back over with me. Go back over again to Mark's gospel and Mark chapter, 9. All right. And look at Mark chapter 9 again. All right. Okay. Now I won't go to the scripture because I don't want to run out of time today. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is it. Another scripture says that out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. Am I right about it?
Amen.
So some things are coming out of your heart. And then another scripture says over in Proverbs chapter 4, guard your heart with all diligence. That means shield it.
Yes.
See? For out of it comes the issues of life. Now that word issues translates forces, or it can translate boundaries. Mm-hmm. See, out of your heart comes the boundaries, or the borders of your life. What's stopping you is not on the outside. He just told you no man will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. So you got his promise for that. So the rest is up to you. God needs your permission and your participation. So now he is saying here, now out of the heart are the boundaries of my life. How far I go is dependent on what's in here and what's in my mind. Are you following what I'm saying? Now that was a man, and he was an evangelist, he and his wife, and they'd gone over to Africa and were evangelizing over there, and a bubonic plague hit in that country. And it hit, and so some physicians and so forth from U.S. and other countries were coming over there trying to fight that thing. And they told him, said, you and your wife, come on, get some shots here so you won't catch this thing. He said, no, we won't catch it. He said, no, I understand that. He said, come on, you better take this shot. He said, because this thing is raging and it's taking lives here. He said, I understand that, but it won't hurt us. He said, now, wait a minute, what are you saying? He said, I tell you what, take some of that bloody froth off of that man's mouth there, at the corner of his mouth there. Take some of that off there and put it on a slide. He took it off and put it on a slide, and they saw all these little microbes or whatever swimming around in there. Then he said, now take it off that slide and put it on my finger. Took it off the slide and put it on his finger. Then he said, now take it off my finger and put it back on the slide. Put it back on the slide. And look in there, everything was dead. He said, what's your secret? He said, meditation of Psalm 91.
Amen.
I'm saying that you can go and grab a whole vine of poison ivy, pull it down, and it won't come nigh you. Because it's not on the outside, it's on the inside how far you gonna go. Do you follow what I'm saying? Now, let's look again here at this Mark chapter 9. He says here, verse 23, and Jesus said to him, if thou can believe, all things, come on, are possible to what? Him that believeth. Now, notice what they have done with this word possible. Possible means capable of being something, capable of doing. It means existing, capable of happening, capable of being known, something that's possible. Now, when you say impossible, you're talking about something that is not capable of. So possibility, for the most part, has been defined by this system over here and human logic. Reasoning. That's what it's been defined as. So when a person comes up to you and says that's impossible, they're using the scale of this natural earth and this natural existence to say that. But you are in this world, come on, but no longer of this world. So now you've been over here and translated into the kingdom of God, into a place where Jesus said, if you can believe, all things will become possible for you. So now you've got a whole new thinking that all things are possible to him that believeth. So you got a whole new world that just opened up to you. Because he said all things. What's left after all? Nothing. 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 If you go back in the scriptures, you'll see that he said in certain places that, glory to God in heaven. Ooh, Lord, have mercy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah. Hold your hand right there. I'm just showing you some places now because I see some of y'all winking at me. Look at Matthew chapter 17 real quick. I'm coming right back here. Matthew chapter 17. Let me know when you get there. Matthew 17. Are you there? Look what Jesus said in verse 20. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, and shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing, come on, shall be, come on, impossible unto you. What's left after nothing? Nothing. All right. Turn on back here to Mark chapter 9 again. Now, what is he saying? Jesus said this. This is Jesus said this. That possibilities for me are solely defined and based on my capacity to believe. Possibilities for me, say me, are solely based on my capacity to believe. That's for me now. So now, if I can believe, all things become possible for me. Now, this is for me now. So if I can believe God for a corporate jet, let me look over this side. If I can believe God, then it becomes, come on, possible for me. Now, it may not be possible for you, because he said, if thou, got it? If thou, see, and you can't stop my thou. Now, I can let you talk me out of it if I'm so persuaded, because that's those folks that are slack. But I'm not slack. God says, if I can believe, all things become possible for me. For me, for this corporate jet. Come on, for this $10 million house. Come on, for this, what is Bentley? For this, for 50,000 member congregation. If I can believe, don't get down on me, because you don't believe. Because you've got dream stealers out here, and they don't want to let anybody get ahead of them. Now, they are in unbelief, and as soon as you walk out of that unbelief, they try to grab you, pull you back in the boat. Now, think about it. This is wonderful. Because nothing, there's nothing I can't do now. There's nothing. You read the Bible. Now, we hadn't been, I don't know about you, when I was raised up and I was quoting scriptures, Jesus wept. I didn't, nobody was teaching me this. But you're getting this. Why? Because God wants you to go in to get that inheritance. And that inheritance is impossible. It's too big for your bank account. It's too big for your own natural ability. It's too big for your background in education. It's too big. But if you can believe, that's all it is. Now, many of us, again, have been trained to limit ourselves based on what somebody else has done. I don't have anything to do with you. If thou can believe, are you following what I'm saying? So we have found out that, for the most part, there are three things that affect our believing. And that is our environment, our exposures, and our experiences. And then when we do believe, those believings, the believing that we have controls our lives. It begins to control the decisions that we make, especially under pressure. It begins to, when people are under pressure, it will try to, whatever your believing is, will control what eventually will come out of your mouth under that pressure. And I remember when we were building the mall and things had stopped because we had to go to the bank and get some money and so forth like that. And some things happened which caused the money to stop for a while. And those few months when it stopped and the building stopped and everybody took their machines away, everybody was looking at me. And that was a very embarrassing predicament to be in. And even somebody came in my office and brought me the scripture out of Luke chapter 14, verse 28. And what man builds a building without first counting the cost? If he doesn't count the cost, he'll find that he'll be embarrassed when he doesn't have enough money to build. You don't think the pressure was on me? But I went back to what I came here with. Every place the sole of my foot shall tread upon, that has he given me. You got what I'm saying? Now, the next thing that believing will affect or control, it will control your boundaries or your comfort zone. And sometimes you're not aware of it, but your subconscious is making decisions even while you're not aware of it. And it's making decisions based on the programming that's in it. So that's why we have to renew our minds, that reprogramming of that subconscious, so that we'll have a new level of comfort zone and make decisions that are in line with that new level so that we can get to our wealthy place. Another thing that decisions or that system, belief system will control is what we call a personal recognition system, a personal awareness system. So you're going to be personally aware of things. In other words, once you believe something and set that as your goal and your target and desire this thing, you will find that your personal awareness system takes over. It begins to recognize all the resources, both natural and spiritual, that are available to help you to reach your goal. As a matter of fact, it'll even block out the stuff that is not healthy for you, so that you can get to your place on time. Say amen to that. So now, if thou can believe, all things are possible. So now what we got to do is we got to have to believe. So how now do I believe? Now, when God wants to change our believing system, our believing system is, when God wanted to transform how a person believed, he gave them a spiritual experience. This is in the Bible. He gave them a spiritual experience. Now let's come on over there and let's go to Genesis chapter 30 one more time. Genesis chapter 30. Oh, it's God. Oh, my Lord. My Lord, my Lord. If thou can believe, I said. I said, if thou can believe. Isn't that wonderful? Let me ask you, did Joshua and Caleb, when they came back from spying out the land of promise, were they believers?
Yes.
Were those 10 spies believers? They were in what? Unbelief. All right. 40 years did they wander. The 10 spies died out along with all the other unbelievers. What happened to Joshua and Caleb? They were preserved. The Bible says in Joshua chapter 14, Caleb came to Joshua and he asked Joshua, said, give me this next mountain. He said, I'm as strong today as I was 40 years ago when we went into that promised land. You see, God had to honor his believing. When he believed and had faith, then God had to honor that. Are you following what I'm saying? So God preserved his body, preserved Joshua's body, and preserved them until all the rest of that unbelieving bunch died out. Then he took them and led that other bunch into the promised land. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Now the enemy wants to keep your stuff. Say keep your stuff. Say, devil,
I'm commanding you
in the name of Jesus,
loose my stuff
now.
Angels,
bring it in here
now.
Praise God. Now, listen. All right. Here is a situation where Jacob worked for Laban, And as he worked for Laban, Laban was having him to work for him because Jacob wanted to marry Laban's daughter. And the daughter was Rachel. But Jacob worked all these years, and after he worked all these years, Laban gave him Leah. Then he said, work 7 more years for me for Rachel. Now understand, all this time Laban is getting rich. Why is he getting rich? Because of the blessing that is on who?
Jacob.
Now stay here. I know you heard some of this before, but you need to listen. Now watch this. Look at verse 27. Verse 26. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served thee, and let me go. For thou knowest my service which I have done thee. And Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in your eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for whose sake? For your sake. And he said, appoint me thy wages, and I'll give it. And he said unto him, thou knowest how I have served thee, and how the cattle was with me. For it was little which thou hadst before I came, and it is now increased into a what? A multitude. And the Lord has blessed me since my coming, blessed thee since my coming. And now, when shall I provide for my own house also? In other words, let me go. I want to provide for my own family. And he said, what shall I give you? Jacob said, thou shalt not give me anything. If thou wilt do this thing for me, I'll again feed thy and keep thy flock. And I will pass through all thy flock today, removing from thence all the speckled and spotted cattle, all the brown cattle among the sheep, and speckled and spotted and speckled among the goats, and of such shall be my hire. In other words, I'm going to get my paycheck from these livestock that are going to reproduce. But I'm going to only get my paycheck. Now listen at this. I'm going to only get my pay from the ones that come out with stripes and spots and the ones that are brown, etc. In other words, these that I'm going to get my pay from are going to be the least that are going to be reproduced in the whole bunch because they normally don't come out that way. They normally come out solid color. Okay? So Laban says, I got you. Because he knew now he would never get the money that he needs to separate. So what did he do? He agreed to go along with that. So verse 36, and he set 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flock. And Jacob took him rods and green poplar and of the hazelnut tree, and peel white streaks in them, and made the white appear which was in the rods. And he set the rods which he had peeled before the flocks in the gutters, in the watering troughs, and when the flocks came to drink, that they should conceive, and when they came to drink, the flocks conceived before the rods, and brought forth cattle ring streaks, speckled and spotted. And Jacob did separate the lambs, and set the faces of the flock toward the ring streak, or the striped, and all the brown of the flock of Laban, and he put his own flock by themselves and put them not into Laban's cattle. And it came to pass when whensoever the stronger cattle did conceive, that Jacob laid the rods before the eyes of the cattle in the gutters, that they might conceive among the rods. But when the cattle were feeble, he put them not in, so that the feebler were Laban's and the stronger were Jacob's. And the man increased how? Exceedingly, and had much cattle, men servants and maid servants, camels and asses. So he just got rich. Look at verse 1 of 31. And he heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob has taken away all that were our fathers, and of that which was our fathers has he gotten all this what? Glory. All right, you with me? Now, Jacob has taken away all that was our fathers. So all that Jacob had, now begin to diminish because of this new reproduction of spotted and speckled and striped and gray spotted livestock. So as a result of that, Jacob start getting rich. Now, here's what I want you to see. Meditation is the way God uses to transform our belief in an accelerated manner. And we talked about meditation, talked about pondering the word, we talk about muttering the word and musing the word. So we talked about all that. That's in the tapes. So now, in this area, that wasn't given until Joshua came. And it was given to folks who, some of them, were ex-slaves. And it was making it so that these ex-slaves would be able to receive this huge inheritance. Because you cannot go any further than your image. And if the slavery system had put an image of lack in them, then God couldn't give them abundance. Because the abundance, they would either misjudge it, wouldn't see it, all the things that would happen as a result of not having our minds renewed to where God wanted to take us. So we got to first, before we get the goods, we got to renew our mind. So God's way of renewing our mind, because as a man thinketh, he now is going to give Jacob a dream. And God's way of renewing a person's mind in an accelerated manner in the days of old here is through dreams and visions. So now he's going to give Jacob a dream. Now, how many of you know God can give you a dream? Now, let's start here at verse 7. And your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but God suffered him not to hurt me. And he said thus, the speckles shall be thy wages. Then all the cattle bear speckle. And if he said thus, the ring strength shall be thy wage, thy hire, then bear all the cattle ring strength. And God has taken away the cattle from your father and given them to who? Given them to me. And it came to pass at the time that the cattle conceived, that I lifted up my eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the cattle were ring-straked, spotted, and speckled, and gristled, or gray-spotted. And the angel of God spake unto me in a dream. Now you had sight and you had sound, saying, Jacob. I said, here am I. And he said, lift up now your eyes and see, all the rams which leap upon the cattle are ring-straked, speckled, and gristled, or gray-spotted, for I have seen all that Laban has done to you. Now we're about to get the big payback. We're about to get payday here. Now, would you see something? Because God showed him in a dream all of the livestock coming out speckled, spotted, gray spotted, striped, and whatever. But that reproducing and leaving Laban without any. Now, I want you to hang with me here. He took poplar or parts of trees and limbs of bark, and he took them in the chestnut, and he put them in front of the watering trough. Now, I believe that serves two purposes. One, I believe that it was the wisdom of God. When you begin to meditate the Word of God, when you start out, you don't know what to do. But once you begin to meditate the Word of God, the wisdom of God begins to come through you. You begin to see in and through things. And in this case, I believe that there was something about the smell of that bark after it was chipped that it reminded these livestock of mating season. Just stay with me. So when they came before these watering troughs, all of a sudden they wanted to mate. But not only that, Jacob changed scientific probability. He, through meditation and acting on the word, overcame natural law. Where natural law would have them to produce in a certain season, now Jacob was gonna, he was gonna control seasons. When natural law was gonna say, according to the law of probability and heredity, what ones were gonna come out, what color, Jacob overrode that and now controlled what was gonna come out. Now, this is good for me. Once I meditate the word, glory to God, help me, Lord. Turn to Genesis chapter 37, please. Genesis chapter 37, very quick. Genesis chapter 37. God works through your thoughts. As a man, come on, thinketh. If thou can only, what? Believe. So notice, he took that dream and what the angel spoke and reset Jacob's mind and his heart that he could believe something that he never could believe before. Now, that was a spiritual experience given by God. Today, you don't necessarily have to have that. Only thing you do is get a word of what you want to do and then meditate it. Meditation does the same thing. A dream. Verse 5, 37. Joseph dreamed of what? Dream. And what did he do with it? He told it to his brothers and they hated it. I don't know why he told it, but they hated it. Verse 9. You ready? And Joseph dreamed what? Yet another dream. What did Joseph dream? He dreamed that every one of them bowed down to him. He dreamed that even the sheaves in the field bowed down to him. He dreamed that 11 stars bowed down to him. Joseph dreamed himself as a ruler. Joseph dreamed himself as a ruler. You see, unless you see yourself as a ruler, God can't operate through you and make you a ruler. See, I see myself. Y'all won't get offended with this, will you? See myself as a king. I hope y'all don't get offended at that. That's the truth. That's the truth. I'm going to tell you something. I can say this because my wife is not here. Sometimes I have problems at the house. I mean, we don't have no arguments or nothing like that, but I have to really, you know, be patient because I see myself doing, you know, I'm a king. I'll say little things like, sweetheart, listen, I know it, but my breakfast, I would like a china cup, and I'd like it, so forth. But why do you need a china cup? When you got it in you, it begins to show out. See, it begins to conduct your life and your performance. Myself. That's why this is easy. I see myself as a king. Folks, we're working on all kinds of things. I see myself as dominating this earth. I have taken those cards in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28. I've taken Psalm chapter 8, verse 5 through 7. I've taken them and I've meditated. meditate him. I got about 7-8 of them meditate, and I meditate them day and night. See, and I see myself as dominating not just my little acre of land. I see myself dominating the earth, because God says I'm restoring all things. But if I can get somebody to meditate my word, I do not see myself as broke. I'll never be broke another day in my life. I don't care what recession does. I don't care what anything does. I'm in control in Jesus' name. And all you got to do is see it. You see that, it'll change the way you see yourself. Won't be begging for nothing no more. You don't know how much that grips me to even go to a banker and say, because I'm the bank.
Amen.
It hadn't fully manifested yet, but you hang around. You hide and watch, because it's going to come to pass. Glory to God. I'm not running somewhere trying to get another sermon. I done had enough sermons. I'm not looking for somebody new to come to town. I done had enough of that. I need now to spend time in the Word. I need now to meditate day and night and day and night and day and night. Now you turn to one more place. Turn to Matthew chapter 14. How many of you know Joseph was raised up to be a ruler? You're not going any further than you can see. He said, thou can believe. Didn't he say that? That's how far you're going, as far as you can believe. And the way you can affect your believing system and reset it is through meditation. Now look what it says here. Now you need to learn something about this, because y'all, and I was back then, and you know, and I came from a dysfunctional family and all that. You need to cut all that mess out that ain't going home. You need to say, wait a minute. That happened in my past, but I'm meditating on my future. Now you look what he said. Are you ready? This is verse 24. And the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves. Oh, glory to God. Somebody got what I was saying here today. And the wind was contrary. See, some people don't like this. Joseph's brothers got jealous. There are people. See, when you go around people and you talk like this, them demons rise up. Them demons rise up. Yeah, see, there are certain people that don't want you to escape.
That's right.
They don't want, especially me. See, they're looking at my color sometimes. Where you get, hey. I'm a seed. I'm a seed.
Yes.
Hey,
yes.
You better watch it, because you may be working for me.
Yes.
Hey. See, it ain't about color. It's about what you believe. Look, let me finish it. Verse 40, somebody's here today. Verse 24. But the ship was now tossed in the middle of the sea, tossed with waves, and the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a who? Spirit. It is a who? Spirit. It is a who? Spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway, Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. Come on. It is I. Be of good cheer. Come on. It is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered and said to him, Lord, if it be you, bid me to come to thee on the water. And he said, what? And he said, what? And he said, what? And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, what? Save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said to him, O thou of little, come on, faith. Why did you what? Doubt. Now, let me tell you. Here's Peter. Here's at night. They're rowing. Then the winds kick up. Now it's giving them a tough time. The disciples are trying to make it to the other side to do what God called them to do. But the winds and the sea were troubled against them. Then here comes Jesus walking peacefully on the sea. But then Peter said they cried out for fear because they thought it was a ghost or a spirit or a hate or whatever you call it. And then what happened? He said, listen, Jesus said, be of good cheer, gentlemen. It's me. Be not afraid. And Peter said, if that be you, tell me to come to you on the water. I believe that's what God is calling for the church to do right now. Jesus, if that's you, tell me to do something impossible. I want to do something impossible. I don't want to row no more. I don't row now. I'm tired of rowing. I want to get out of the boat and walk on this water. Glory. Peter was walking, and as he walking, then he took his eyes off Jesus, off the Word, took his mind off God, and started looking at his relatives, at the friends that were brought up in his community, at what the statistics have said about him in the encyclopedia, and so forth. And the Bible says he began to sink. I want you to see something. He believed, and after he believed, he had to operate by faith. Once you believe, that's not enough. You can sit and believe that if you eat food, you won't starve. But until you eat food, you are not acting on what you believe. So he believed that if he could walk, but he had to get out of the boat, come on, and walk. But notice, it was the mind. It was the mind. Peter's mind. God was working through his mind. As a man thinketh, so is it. Peter was walking because of his thinking power. I'm telling you right now, you can get out on that water, and if your thoughts are right, God will keep you in the supernatural, and you will dominate in this earth. As a man thinketh, the only thing that caused him to sink was he changed his thoughts. And you can change your thoughts about how God sees you, about what he says is yours, and you will begin to sink right in the middle of God's provision. You are made to walk with God. You are made to talk with God. You are made now, just hold on just a minute. Whatever you do, glory to God. If you're going to walk, if you're going to walk with Jesus, I said if you're going to walk with God, whatever you do, stay positive. Don't get negative 1 minute. You got it? If you're going to walk with God, remember, to walk with God is to walk in miracles. It's to walk in the supernatural. So get ready for it. Your flesh ain't going to know what's happening. Tell your mind, take a back seat. You're walking in the spirit and not in the flesh. If you're going to walk with God, remember, only think success. even though Peter began to sink, God reached out